So today we're going to continue on in our series on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure some of you are starting to think, Pastor Scott, this is the fifth message you've done on this series. When are we going to just move along a little bit? When are we going to get going? Can we talk about something else? I mean, how long are you going to take on the fruit of the Spirit? And I know you might be getting a little impatient, but today we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to talk about putting another log, dry log, on the fire, and that dry log is patience today. So if you're thinking that we've been a long time and you're impatient with this series, we've got a few more messages to go yet. But we're going to talk about patience today. And as we read in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So the fruit of the Spirit is patience. Yet we live in a culture or a society that, for the most part, seems to always be in a hurry. Have you noticed that? That we're in a bit of a hurry? You know, we're driving along to Kamloops and we're in the 100-kilometer zone and we're driving along and we're doing 100 and we get behind another car that's doing 100 and we're going, why are they going so slow? Can't you go just a little faster? Like, I'm trying to get to Kamloops, and I need to get there today. And yet they're going the speed limit. Or we go to the grocery store, and the lines are too long. I know you've never done that. Or they're too slow. I go to Costco and I get in a line at Costco and I go, oh no, that line's faster. I jump over here and next thing I know, that line is going faster. Never get in a line where I'm at because it's always the slowest. But we get frustrated, right? Or we look at the cashier and we're down at Quality Foods and we look at the cashier and she's just talking and talking and talking with some friend. What's she talking about? I am in a hurry. I got nowhere to go, but I'm in a hurry. Our society is in a hurry. One of our grandsons is so frustrated when he has to patiently wait after he's finished his dinner for the other two grandsons to finish theirs, because the rule in our house is that everybody sits at the table till everybody's finished. So one of them is just, he's always finished first, and he's looking at others, and he's the one that eats the most, but anyhow, he gets frustrated because he can't leave the table until everyone else is finished. How patient are we when we're put on hold? Have you ever tried dealing with ICBC or some other bureaucratic institution? Or TELUS is a great one. I love TELUS. They put you on hold. You think they're the phone company. Why are they putting me on hold? But they do. And we get so impatient. And it seems like we've been on hold. I've done this. I've looked at my cell phone. Okay, you're putting on me a hold. I'm going to see how long. And it seems like we've been on hold for hours, and I've been on hold for 2 minutes or 1 minute and 32 seconds or something. And we're just impatient. Or the wheels of bureaucracy turn slow, don't they? Patience is not a virtue most of us have. We don't seem to want to wait for anything or anybody. But biblical patience is far more than just putting up with having to wait. I came across several ways in which people have defined patience. Patience is self-restraint, which does not hastily retaliate against wrong. That's a good one. Patience is the ability to accept delay or disappointment graciously. So to stand in the line graciously, to accept that the car may be going 10 kilometers an hour under the speed limit graciously, that's patience. Patience is the powerful attribute that enables a man or a woman to remain steadfast under strain and continuing to press on. To remain steadfast in what we believe. Patience is a calm endurance based on the certain knowledge that God is in control. Now that's it, right? Patience is knowing that God is in control. Patience is trusting in God through it all. The Greek word for patience used in here in Galatians 5:22 means forbearance or long suffering. Actually, the Greek word is a compound of two words, and one word means long and one word means temper. So long temper doesn't mean that I have a long temper and I'm going to be fuming mad for a long time. What it means is the ability for one's temper to hold one's temper for a long time, to just put it off for a long time before exploding. The Greek word is the equivalent to our English idiom, having a long fuse. So a patient person can take a lot before reacting. Someone said it is being able to experience challenges from others and in life without blowing up. So how are we doing? Are you all going, yep, 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 I'm good, I'm good, I'm patient, I'm just patient. You know, when we read these what patience really is, I'm sure many of us might say, I'm not sure if I'm called or able to be that person that God wants me to be. Yet, as we read in Colossians 3:12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. The Greek word for patience here in this verse is the exact same Greek word that is used in Galatians 5:22 on the fruit of the Spirit. Notice we are called to be patient. It said, be patient. Clothe yourself with patience, it told us. It is not something we are to have once in a while. We are exhorted to clothe ourselves. In other words, to put it on like clothing, that it's close to us. It's something that we need to put on in the morning and not take off. It needs to be that close with us. Every time we get in a line or behind a slow driver or in some difficult situation, we need to look at our shirt and go, yeah, patience. I need to clothe myself with patience. We need to have that patience. And the verse connects being patient with those around us, with people we're in contact with. But it is not just with others that we have no issues with. Not just with those we get along with. For me, it's not just being patient with my wife or with you folks because I get along with you. Did you notice it says we are to bear patiently with those who have wronged us? Bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances. What are grievances? Those are things that people have wronged us with. Those we might have an issue with, we are to be patient, no matter what the reason. Nor is being patient just patiently waiting around, just being idle, just sitting there and going, well, it'll all work out. I don't need to do anything. We see here that we are to be patient with those who have wronged us in some way by moving forward, by forgiving as the Lord has forgiven us. So it's not just sitting there and hoping the issue with my daughter might work out. I don't have an issue with you right now, hon. But there are times we have issues, right? We're people, family, and, you know, it's not, or with my wife, it's not just sitting there waiting and hoping that it'll all work out. It's going and working it out, asking for forgiveness and asking them. It's moving forward. Patience isn't just sitting there. Think how patient the Lord is and has been with us. He doesn't sit there and just twiddle his thumbs and say, oh yeah, no, I'll just wait. I'll just wait they'll come to me. Scott will come to me. He doesn't do that. He's continually reaching out and offering us forgiveness. I know, because Jesus was there patiently trying to get my attention for years when I was young. For years, and I can look back at my life and look at my childhood and see, you know, even when I was in church, that Jesus was trying to get my attention, trying to say, Scott, it's not just about coming to church. It's not just about doing the good things, Scott. It's about having a relationship with me. It's about asking me to forgive your sins and come to me. And he patiently waited and waited, and he patiently offered until I finally accepted in 1980 when I was getting old, and now I'm older. But he doesn't stop there, does he? He's patient with us even after we come to know him. Well, I know not with you folks, but with me he is, because I sin. And he patiently waits, and he says, Scott, I have forgiveness here for you. And how many times do I just make sure he doesn't wait long? I'm right there every time just going, God, please forgive me for what I did. No, there's times when I'm pretty stubborn. Over the years, there's been times, and he's waited patiently and patiently for me to say, God, please forgive me. I messed up. And please forgive me for being so impatient or for not coming to you sooner. God is filled with patience. The psalmist on several occasions states that God is slow to anger and abounding in love. That's who God is. He's slow to anger. Man, if God was quick to anger, there would be none of us here. Instead of pouring out his wrath upon us, he patiently waits for us to turn to him. As 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 states, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. This is how patient the Lord is with us. He is enduring patience with us. And in the same manner, we need to have that enduring patience with one another. that patient that moves forward. We must patiently and continually offer the olive branch, as it were, of forgiveness to those around us that need it. But we're not only called to be patient with others. That would be great if we were only called to be patient with others, but we're also called to be patient in other ways too. For Romans 12:12 exhorts us to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. We are to be patient in affliction. And the word affliction here has the meaning of an oppressive state of physical, mental, social, or economic adversity. That pretty much covers everything, doesn't it? Social, physical, mental, economic adversity. In other words, when we are going through trials of any sort, we are called to go through them patiently. Again, we must realize that it's not just sitting back and waiting for the challenging times to pass. But being patient in being confident that the Lord is in control of the whole situation is what we talked about in that one definition, right? It's being patient, knowing that the Lord is in control, trusting Him with it at all. Walking with Him forward in victory. Let's use the church furnace as an example. The big furnace has broken and it needs replacing. It's going to cost us almost $27,000. I would classify this as a challenging situation, wouldn't you? Something that maybe we need to be patient in. And if being patient is doing nothing and just waiting, just sitting, I'll tell you, it's going to be pretty cold here in January. You folks won't come to church. No, being patient is moving forward. And that's what we did as a board. We went out and got quotes. And then we looked at the quotes and looked how they lined up with the work that was to be done. And then we chose one quote. And now we're patiently praying and waiting. We're continuing to pray and wait upon the Lord and to raise the money, to raise the finances for it. See, if we were impatient, if we had just been a board that was impatient, we might have taken the quote that was $38,000 for the same thing. Now, we don't have an extra $12,000. I'm thankful for a patient board. I'm thankful for that. See, we are patiently moving forward all the time, knowing Jesus has it under control, and we're trusting Him. This is the same way we must handle every affliction, trial, or challenge we encounter. Being patient with others and in affliction seems like an overwhelming challenge. And our Father knew patience would be a challenge for us. In fact, in our flesh, we would struggle and will struggle with being patient all the time. This is why it is part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit living within us that gives us that ability to be patient. But it's in there, it's there, but it needs to be developed. Fruit doesn't just pop out. You don't just have an apple tree and there's an apple blossom and you can ask Jewel. Yeah, Jewel's farm, and they just pop out. They just happen. It doesn't take time to grow. But fruit takes time, right? And it takes time to develop. Comes from a blossom, and then you get the little tiny apple, and it grows and expands and becomes a beautiful, delicious apple. We too need to develop patience in our lives. We need to heed things like David wrote in Psalm chapter 37, verse 7, and the first part, it says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him." Huh. be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Yeah, that's what we do. No, we don't. Usually, we want to fix it ourselves and we rush out and try to do it ourselves. To grow patience in us so it starts to burn bright, we must take time and quieten ourselves before the Lord. Far too often we think of just sitting quietly before the Lord is a waste of time. I mean, I need to get the plow in the ground. I need to get working. I need to fix it. I need to get up there and start tearing the old furnace out. No, that's not a good idea because it'll leak until the new one's put in. We need to be patient. We need to sit before the Lord and ask him. Ask him. And just sit and listen. It's not a waste of time. Definitely not a waste of time. If we don't have the patience to be with the Lord, to sit in his sweet presence, in the safety of his presence, how will we have the patience with others or in times of affliction? I mean, how are we going to manage? If we can't be patient before the Lord, how are we going to be patient in anything else? In those quiet times before his Lord, David would take time to share what was on his heart. David wrote in Psalm 40 in verses 1 to the first part of verse 3, I wait patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on the rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth and a hymn of praise to our God. David knew that it was never a waste of time to wait patiently before the God, before his Lord. As he drew close to the Father drew close to him. And the Father heard David's heart. This is what we read in James chapter 4, verse 7, verse 8, the first part. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. That's a promise. If we draw near to God, if we wait patiently for God, if we are quiet before the Lord, he will draw near to us if we'll just sit and quiet in our heart. And when David waited patiently, God lifted him above the situations and placed him on the solid ground, on a solid rock, on a firm foundation. It didn't matter if the slimy pit was a challenge with some person or an affliction he faced. As he was patient, he found the sure footing he needed. That sure footing would give him clarity of mind. As we wait before the Lord, he gives us clarity of mind. As Proverbs 14:29 declares, a patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. When we are patient, we are not the bull in the china shop. When we wait before God, we don't become that bull in the china shop. We give the Holy Spirit time to speak to our hearts. That's what's happening when we wait patient, when we're quiet before the Lord. We give him time to speak to our hearts. He teaches us all things and reminds us of what Jesus has said in his word. He'll quicken scripture to our hearts. As we are patiently moving forward, we will see God's perspective on things. We will see God's glory. Where when we are impatient, we take things into our own hands, and we might not see the whole picture. We jump before we look, as it were. During these times, it's possible to do more damage than good. On the other hand, we far too often think that patience is just sitting idly and not doing anything. If our course of action is inaction, then we might miss valuable opportunities to move forward with others or in affliction. I mean, if we wait too long for the furnace, the cost of the furnace will only go up and we might miss some valuable opportunity. If we put the log of patience into our lives, the fire of the Holy Spirit will burn bright. We will make wise choices as we move forward for the glory of God. Others will see our patience, and God will be glorified. We need to put the log of patience on the fire of the Holy Spirit, because it'll burn bright. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, forgive us for our impatient times. I think I would be safe to say that we're all impatient from time to time. We're impatient with others. We're impatient with ourselves. We're impatient when we go through trials and challenges, afflictions, whatever they may be. Forgive us, because those are times when we haven't come and sat quietly before you and allowed your patience to fill us. Allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us. Lord, may this day be a changing day, where we start to look at our clothes and say, yeah, that reminds me, I need to clothe myself with patience. I need to allow that fruit in the Spirit to develop within me, that I may be patient, so you may be glorified in what I say, in what I do, in how I handle things. Father, we trust in you. Thank you for your patience with us. Help us and encourage us to be patient in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.